This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. I hope all you listeners are listening close today. We got a wonderful word for you today. And we didn't really know for sure what we were going to talk about coming in here, but we're led by the Spirit. And Melanie's got some things she's going to share in a little bit also out of Galatians chapter 5 about walking in the Spirit. And the Lord showed me a couple things to start with. So we might do two or three things here today. And we need the whole counsel of God, don't we? Not just one thing. And so we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And if you'd like to get a CD of what we're going to talk about today, all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail it to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995, and we'll get it out to you. Whatever the Lord tells you, you do it, okay? So we're honored to be here with you. And I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey. In fact, we're going to have Roscoe and Audrey. Roscoe's going to call here in a little bit, and we're going to get an update on the Temple of God on Andros Island in the Bahamas in a little bit as well. So it's going to be a good time, amen? So I don't know when you want to do that. But
a little bit.
Okay. But, you know, here we went. I was thinking this morning, you know, here we went through the 4th of July, and I think President Trump did a marvelous speech and honored the troops and all that. And we always have that group, you know, that on the left that don't want to be a part of it. And I mentioned this scripture, I think, on Saturday at church. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. We, you know, they call the Democrats what? They're on the left. Republicans are on the right. Listen to this. A wise man's heart is at his right hand. Now listen to this, the part of the tail end. But a fool's heart at his left.
Thank you, Father.
That's good. That's good. I like one. That. And so I got thinking about this. You know, in fact, Proverbs 14, verse 34, the last next to the last verse, is a scripture that's very important that we need to keep in our heart. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we see our country, how we're going the wrong way. But thank God we got somebody at the helm in Washington, our president, and he's doing a great work, and he's got all those believers that come and pray with him, and he's wanting to do the right thing. So we know that righteousness will always overrule what the wicked people want to do, and so we have to trust that. And so I was looking at some other things in here. In Proverbs 14, verse 7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Isn't that powerful? Verse 9, "Fools make a mock at sin." That's what a lot of our politicians are doing. "But among the righteous there is what? There's favor." And everything they're trying to do is contrary to the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so it's an abomination to the Lord, you know. And so I just really troubles me. Verse 11, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown." You hear that?
Yes.
"But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish."
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Verse 12, "There's a way which seemeth right unto man." And that's what they're doing. "But the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, we saw this Cortez go down to the border and complained about how deplorable everything was. Well, you know, just a few weeks ago or a month ago, they were trying to pass a bill to give funds to do some things to help the people down there at the border. And, you know, she voted against it. Now she's down there running our country down. And this is the kind of stuff that we have today. That's what I call a fool. Now, like verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Verse 17, he that is soon angry, he dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So we got a whole world of knowledge, don't we, just in the yes. Proverbs, if we look at them and understand what God wants us to know with all this. And so I like verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. We're confident in the Lord, and the children shall have a place of refuge. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit, what? Exalteth folly. Isn't that a crazy thought when you think about that? So we got a lot of wonderful things. I like verse 32 also. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope, what? In his death. Wow.
Wow, that's a big one.
Yeah. And then 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made what? Known. So we had a wonderful fourth, and some great things were done. And of course, the naysayers on the left tried to run down everything that President Trump was trying to do. He honored all the military, and I thought it was incredible. His speech was just a wonderful speech. And it was not a political thing. It was about our country. And so thank God somebody's doing that, not trying to do something politically. And so it was just a good time. So we got to keep that in mind. And we got all those naysayers that are around President Trump. We know that. And he can't get anything hardly at all passed because they don't want, if his name's on it, they will not agree to it. It doesn't matter. Like this Cortez, you know, a few weeks ago, she was all for giving them some money for the border down there. Well, now she's telling you that, you know, it's deplorable. Well, the money didn't go because she voted against it, okay? So what is this? It's a hypocrisy. It's what it is. So we have a lot of this. And not only her, but a lot of other people as well, you know? And so if Trump's name's on it, they don't want nothing to do with it, and they'll try to run it down. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, he couldn't put his pants on right in their minds, you know that? They'd find something wrong the way he did it. So aren't you glad that he's a strong guy?
Yes,
He's God's man of the hour for this country, definitely. And he's standing up for the truth, and he's going to stand up for righteousness. And we just read that. Righteousness, what? Exalteth a nation. And he's going to keep pushing that forward, righteousness. But we know sin is truly a reproach to any people. Mm-hmm. And so he's pushing that away. And we've got into a lot of sin in this country. We know that. And a lot of debauchery and all this, with this thing with abortion and all that. 60 million babies in the United States that we've aborted over the years. And so, well, we got a real repentance with God about that. What's he going to do with all that? All those people that agreed to that. I hate to be in their shoes. So I tell people, when vote comes, vote time, don't vote for anybody that believes in abortion. Mm-hmm. Do not vote for them. Don't vote for people that believe things contrary to the Word of God. And so we have to vote according to the Word. That's what I do. The Word is the truth. That's what we want, nothing else. Not what they think or anything else. And so we got all these Democrats running, and they all have a different opinion. Excuse me. Every single one of them, how they think things should be done. They're trying to push this country into socialism. And Trump made the statement at the prayer, and also at when he spoke on the 4th of July, that this country will never be socialist. Right. But they're pushing as hard as they can to get that system into place. Everything's going to be free. You know, college will be free. Health insurance will be free. Well, who's going to pay for all that? Well, we are. You know, I think about, what's the other guy's name? Sanders? Yeah?
Bernie
Sanders, you know. You know, he never held a job down in his life. So he has no clue what a working man has to do. You know, he's never had to do that. So we have to identify with the common people. That's what I liked about Trump the last election. He went out in the Midwest and all the highways and the byways and the hamlets and went in these little towns and talked to people, and he got the heart of America. No wonder when he has these meetings, he has 25 to 30,000 people. When he was in Orlando, there was 25,000 people in the building, and there was hundreds outside wanting to get in that they couldn't let in because they had no place to put them. And so people are following that. And so don't believe all the lies that you hear on TV and all, that he's behind in the polls. Who cares what the polls say? He was behind with Hillary, right? They said she was going to win. Well, God chose Trump. And so he trumped what she wanted to do. And so we just praise God for our president, and we got to continue to lift him up. So you listeners that are listening today, continue to pray for him. And I'm serious about this. And get off your high horse if you think he's not the right person, because God put him in office. He's a miracle that he's there.
We're commanded to pray.
That's right. We're commanded to pray.
We are commanded to pray.
And so, you know, we're not voting.
No one is perfect.
And we're not voting in a pastor. We're voting in a president. And, you know, Trump's a businessman, knows how to do things. Well, all the rest of them are a bunch of politicians, and they do the same stuff over and over and over, and nothing changes. Well, he's made some huge changes in the 2.5 years that he's been in office. And I think he's going to be a shoo-in for this election. I mean, who would not vote for what he's done? You know, they don't look at his record. They don't look to see what he's done, you know, with all, you know, the economy and low unemployment, mm-hmm. with all these different ethnic groups. And all. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
I want to mention something. We'll get on a little bit different subject, but it just came to me when you said that. We don't vote for a pastor. Well, you're not supposed to vote for a pastor anyway.
That's right.
A pastor is called.
It's
people
called.
In the ministry are called. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor.
But a lot of people think the president should be like a pastor.
Right. But so he was called like a Cyrus. He was called.
That's right.
For this time and for this season. Yes. And so we need to realize that, you know, he's not perfect.
Nope.
None of us, no one is perfect.
No one.
And I've heard several people say that he's born again. And that, you know, maybe he's a baby Christian. I don't know, but God has called him for such a time as this, even as Esther was called,
yes.
for such a time as this, and Mordecai and Cyrus, all
That's
of them were called for such a time as
That's
this,
right.
just like you were called for such a time as this. And I was, I don't want that thing on me. Hallelujah, Bob. Anyways, so we were called for such a time as this. And so we need to pray for him because of that. And I've already gotten some really texts that said some bad things about his speech.
Yeah.
You know, can you think of something good? Can people find something good?
Nope.
We should be looking for something
yeah.
good.
It's always a negative.
In people, you know. I mean, one person compared him to Hitler,
yeah.
making a big speech.
Can you believe that?
You know, God forbid, we need to find something good in people.
That's right.
And we need to thank the Lord that he has put him in that place. Well, we do know we're in the last times, the last days, people of God, and those who are listening to us by way of Facebook. We are in the last days, and things are going to get worse. But look at the good he has done.
That's right.
Maybe some of the things do not line up, because he mentioned people in different like movie stars and all that. You know, things that people that do things that don't line up with Christians. But you know what? He was lifting up this country and lifting up people and lifting up all the people who have done such great things.
That's right, you know, all down through history.
That have done such great Amen. Things down through history. And even having those all those planes go across, someone says, well, he's just showing that we're ready to go to war, and he's going he's stirring up the other countries to say, you know, well, we're not going to let that happen. It's almost like he was a prideful. They're saying he was prideful. Oh. But you know what? We need to be proud in the right way of our country, of the things that we're doing right. And we need to be continued. We're commanded to pray for them and pray for him, pray for the vice president, pray for his family, pray protection. We need to do that. God called us to do that. And we're in the last days. Things are going to happen. Things are getting worse day by day.
Yes, they
but
are.
But you know what? We have to stand up for righteousness.
Yes, we do.
If he's a man that's been called for such a time as this, we need to pray for him. And I believe he has been. And our country, if we had somebody else in place right now, we would not be in the position we are in right now, financially, spiritually. You know, the church has come together in many ways, but the church really needs to wake up a lot more and stand behind the things that are godly in our president and stand behind it. You know, he's not for abortion.
Nope.
He's not for abortion. No. And he's not for putting people in cages. No.
Nope.
Those people chose to come over here illegally.
That's right.
You know, they're not in cages because we're caging them up for like animals. No, they're trying to help, you know. But we really need to pray. And I just want to change the subject again because I did tell, I want to invite our friend Roscoe and Audrey to give us a call. So yep. You can call at any time. And they're going to let us know. We've heard about them a lot, the Temple of God on Andros Island. And they've been with us for many years. And we support them. And we feel like we're building the Temple of God as right along there with them. They're doing all the labor. But all the supplies, has taken so much money to build this place on Andros Island, right on Conch Sound. And Margie's got the shofar. She can make a sound. Yeah. And they blow a conch shell.
Yeah, and they drill a hole in it, and they blow it like a shofar. It sounds like a shofar.
Sounds just like a shofar. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So you can call in anytime, Roscoe, and we'll just let you talk and say something about what's going on Andros Island. And we just bless them. Roscoe and Audrey, apostle and prophet on Andros Island, they teach the spiritual gifts. They teach, they celebrate Shabbat. They believe in the Sabbath. And we've just raised them up, and God sent them out, and they're building a wonderful temple over there, a beautiful temple of God called the Temple of God on Andros Island. Amen. So I hope you're listening, Roscoe. I will send you a text just in case you aren't listening by way of Facebook, so you can give us a call. Amen. I'll give our phone number in the meantime, because he may not be able to catch us on with me talking right now on Facebook. So anyways, Bob, did you have something to read while I give him a text?
No, I turned to Galatians because of Melanie was going to read from there.
Yeah. Oh, Melanie
what
was going to.
What do you see in there?
Everything.
Yeah. There's a lot in there, Bob. What do you see?
I talked about that on Saturday, too.
Yeah, you did. Good. Yeah. It was really good, though.
And they left out, you know, the whole thing there. They talked about the flesh versus the spirit. They didn't talk about the soul because every decision is made through the soulish realm to whether you're going to do what the world wants you to do or your old nature, or are you going to follow the Spirit of God? So that leads right into what you're talking about.
Are you sure you didn't have word there to share with us?
Well, let me give the phone number and tell everybody that we're going to have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 p.m. So come over and celebrate the Lord with us as we have Shabbat every Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the address is, it's the Alliance Church, and it's 445 Southeast Osceola Street, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And I wanted to mention that you would continue to pray for us, for Pastor Gene.
Yeah.
And for the radio broadcast, and if you, Lord, would lay it on your heart to send something for finances to help on this radio broadcast, we just appreciate it very much. And you can send that to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995.
Five. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the other address. Yeah, 34995. Sorry. For you folks.
Okay, glory to God.
All right.
Okay, so while we're waiting for, we got a shofar.
We left it down here, didn't we?
No, we didn't. I left it outside.
Okay.
We got a shofar. Gonna blow that shofar, Margie?
Hallelujah.
We have a lot of shofars in our church.
Yeah.
Glory.
Gotta wake up.
Hallelujah.
Glory. You know, that's what we're going to hear when the Yeshua comes. You have something to say, Margie, dear?
I would just have a small scripture. Not small, it's powerful.
They're all
powerful.
Being, aren't they?
They're all powerful.
They're all, yeah.
Thank you, Father, to begin this broadcast. How beautiful. This is in Isaiah 52.
Okay,
verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace,
yes,
that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Now, Melanie's got some things to share. I was going to mention one thing here, and we'll, I know she's got a lot to share, as we all do. And I'm thinking about Romans chapter 8. You know, Paul went through in chapter 7, and you can see at the end of it, he talked about himself being a wretched old man. And what can I do, he says. He says, in verse 25, says, in verse 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the Torah of God, but with the flesh, what? The law of the controlling principle of sin. Now, I like this next verse, and Melody's going to tell us how to do this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's where she's going to go.
All right. Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, I've got a question for everyone today.
Okay.
What is the most neglected subject of the Bible?
Prophecy.
Prophecy? Good one.
What else?
Marge, how about you? What is the one of the most neglected subjects in the Bible? Listeners, you're going to be thinking about this too. What do you think? Okay, well, you're thinking about that.
Gifts of the Spirit.
Book of Revelation.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Okay, actually, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In the life of the believer.
That's right.
And that's what you're just talking about. It says, and also, listeners, I believe this is not only going to bless you, brothers and sisters, but also I believe it's going to bless us here, too. Okay, why is this so important? Pastor Jean, you might ask, why is this so important about the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life? Why is that so important?
Because we can't really live for the Lord without the Spirit of God being in charge. We can't do it on our own, and the flesh will never win out. It's got to be by the Spirit.
Absolutely.
That's right. It's by the Spirit and no other way. Absolutely. He's the one that has to lead and guide in everything that we do.
That is so true. So you're so kind of recapping what you're saying a little bit. I can hear you saying that one, we cannot live a godly life.
That's right.
Okay. How about that? How about serving the Lord, Pastor Gene? What would that be like to your pastor?
Yeah.
What would be that like serving him without the Holy Spirit?
Well, you'd just be going through the motions, and there wouldn't be the I don't think there would be the sincerity there, and the unction to function like God wants, because He wants us to flow in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And I've always taught over the years, I always had a plan when I went to church, like on Sunday morning. I had a thought, but I was always open. I said, Lord, when I used to get up there and say, Lord, if this is not what you want me to share, you do it and tell me. And I've had it happen so many times, and I went another way. So I was led by the Spirit. And if we don't be led by the Spirit, well, then we're going to do our own thing. And when we do, then the Holy Spirit's just going to step off to the side and say, all right, have your way. And when you want me, I'll come back. And so we have to want Him and allow Him to control what He wants. He knows what everybody in that room that you're preaching to needs in their life. And so we got to listen to Him. And if we don't, well, we're going to miss out. And so that's why I think the important thing is the Spirit-filled people have a sensitivity to the Spirit like no other people, because we can hear.
Okay, hold that thought, Pastor Gene, and listeners, we'll get right back with you.
Hello, yes, we just got a phone call from Roscoe and
Audrey Walks.
Walks on Andros Island. Hello there, Roscoe and Audrey.
Hello, how you doing?
Speak up really loud. Put your phone volume up. Put it on speaker. Okay. Yeah, we can hear you, but it's not like you were a little while ago.
You don't have yours on speaker either.
Could you hear me better now?
Hold on. Now say something.
Okay.
There you go.
Hello?
Yeah. There we go.
Now we hear you.
Okay, we're going to share the vision.
Okay.
How much time do we have?
Oh, not too long. Maybe 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay. So, and then Roscoe will share some of the building. So, okay, we bring greetings from the Temple of God in Andrus. Pastor Roscoe and I would like to share the vision that God gave us. and to thank all of those who have helped us and is going to help. In Habakkuk 2:3, it says, write the vision and make it plain.
That's right.
Upon tablets, that they may run that read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So on March the 19th of 95, the Adonai gave us a vision for this assembly. Elohim spoke to me, woke me up at 3:45 a.m. in the morning with this scripture. It was an audible scripture, and it says, lean not to your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. So I went into the living room to pray and thank Elohim for the scripture and the divine visitation. As I began to pray and thank Elohim for the scriptures, I fell into a trance, and Elohim gave me his divine revelation. He told me he was calling us to preach the good news. The ministry would be a fivefold ministry, a house of prayer for all nations, and a world outreach ministry. That the temple of God was to have a banner, and he told me how to design it. He said he wanted a cross. On the cross, put the world, and through, and put a torch of fire through the cross and the world. This would become your emblem or symbol. Use it on stationery and everything that pertained to the ministry. The meaning of the cross, the world, and the torch. The cross represents the good news. The world represents the nations, and the flaming torch is an emblem of the divine presence. One day, as I was in the temple recently looking at the banner, and I said, I don't see anything Jewish about the banner. And the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, it's there. He said, look at it. Look good. He said, look at the cross. Look at. And as I began to look at the cross, I saw Tav, which is the last alphabet in the Jewish in alphabet. In the Jewish pictogram, the Tav represents the sign, the mark, and the covenant. Hallelujah. It was to have all the colors that were in the wilderness tabernacle. The four colors that were in the wilderness tabernacle represents the four offices of the Messiah: the blue, son of Elohim, the purple, king, scarlet, the savior, white, the son of man. The four colors represents the four gospels: Matthew, behold thy king; Mark, the lowly servant; Luke, Jehovah, the ideal man; and John, Jehovah, the son. Elohim said to me that we will build only at the beginning. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you.
That he wanted other assemblies to be established, one in Andrus, Eleuther, and Grand Bahama. At the end of the vision, I saw my name, Prophetess Audrey. The Temple of Elohim's assembly began on February 22nd, 2007. A fivefold ministry of the prophet, the prophetic movement, are expressly commissioned by Elohim to perfect, mature, and equip the saints in the Jewish roots. We are an end-time training center to teach the Jewish roots, eschatology, teaching, and activating the saints in their weapons of warfare, including the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and preparing the bride for the return of the bridegroom, Yeshua HaMashiach, by empowering, purifying, perfecting her until she becomes until she can become presented to the Messiah without spot and without blemish.
It's good.
Hallelujah. So that's where we are right now, and the building that's going on.
And shortly after, I started the building, and it's been going pretty good. The offerings are coming in. Not as much as we would like to, but it is coming in, and we thank God for all of you that are blessing us by sending the building off, the money for the building.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm waiting just to get a few more pieces of material to start the roof, but we just about ready to go ahead and start the roof. So pray for us that we can have some help here also. I can have some help to be able to put that roof on. As it stands right now, I'm all by myself, but daily he gives me ministering angels just to comfort and to be here with me, to encourage me. So y'all keep continue supporting us, and the blessings of the Almighty will be with you greatly.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Awesome.
All right. Thank you, Roscoe.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, amen.
All right. God bless.
God bless. We love you.
Love you.
Okay. That's from Andros Island on my telephone. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, so hopefully it came through pretty good on the radio station. And we will just say talk to you later. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom.
So back to this thing about the spirit we were talking about.
Yeah, I just wanted to recap
if a man got in the pulpit and didn't have the spirit of God, it would just be a natural man talking. You know, you could take anything out of the Bible if you're natural, and you might probably could teach something from it. But is there an anointing behind it? Is there a unction to function? Is there something in with a power and anointing of God to change people's lives? And that's what it's going to take. And that's by the Spirit only. You know, it's not by might or power. By the Spirit, the Word says, okay? So you go right ahead.
Oh, okay, so I just want to recap a little bit, Pastor Gene, what you just said. So you're saying actually the one who preaches the gospel, apart from the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit, the power of God's Spirit on their lives. So you're saying apart from the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be nearly effective.
Nope.
Nor going to have the fruits of the Spirit. And also the work where the Spirit of God is, that it's going to be completely different.
That's right.
It's going to bear different fruit. It's going to have an effect. It's going to be different. So, Pastor Gene, I just want to say you exemplify that so beautifully. I've been privileged to be a part of the service and watching you preach and knowing that sometimes you say things are going to be a little different. You know, I'm being led by the Spirit. And that is so true. And actually, I wanted to go to a scripture with that, as you will. It's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27.
Okay.
Kind of just to back up what we're speaking about. It reads, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him." So I think, you know, you explained that so good. Also, I want to kind of capture a couple words, Pastor Gene, that you did say. You said something about walking in the Spirit and being led in the Spirit. I know Galatians in chapter 5:16, it reads, "Thus I say then, walk in the Spirit." Audience, I want you to grab that word, walk in the Spirit, "and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, on the other hand note, let's just kind of go over to verse 18. "But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law," which is actually freedom. So here we go, Pastor Gene. We've got walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And I think that looks a little different, doesn't it? Walking in the Spirit and being led. So if you'd be so kind, Pastor Gene, can you kind of bring some clarity on that? So we have maybe some listeners that might say, well, okay, I hear you, Millie, but what is that difference? Okay, me walking in the Spirit and then being led in the Spirit. Okay. So could you clarify
walking
that a little bit?
Walking in the Spirit just means that you're being what? Your whole conduct in your life is about the Spirit. It's not talking about your physical walk, but it's your conduct, how you live your life. And so it lines up. If it lines up with the Spirit, so much will be accomplished with your own life, plus the people that you minister to as well. So they come together. They come together. So you can't have one without the other. The anointing is powerful.
Yeah.
So walking just means to order your lifestyle according to what this Bible says and led by the Spirit that's behind all of it.
Okay, so actually you're saying walking in obedience
right.
to the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And having everything lined up to the Word of God. And I think also, too, the Holy Spirit prompts us in our leading as well.
That's
Do you
right.
agree?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I think let's just kind of take that and kind of I'd like to look on, again on Galatians chapter 5, verses 16. We just read that, and you just shared that so nicely. And in verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Now, I just want to kind of talk a little bit about that. We're talking about a raging war inside.
A battle, yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about a battle.
That's right.
Between the flesh and the spirit. Okay? So, for the flesh, it craves what is contrary to the spirit. Agree?
Yes, that's right.
And remember, the flesh can also represent the old man that
yes.
hangs around, okay?
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. And the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh? Do you
sure.
agree with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're opposed to each other so that you do not do what you want. Okay. Let's now flip to, if you're with me, to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Let's just go there real quick.
I knew that's where you were going to go.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. It reads, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but
yes.
I am carnal, sold under sin." And let's see, and let's go down to 15. "For that which I do, I allow not.
Yeah.
For what I would that I do, I not. But what I hate, that do I. And if then I do that which I would not, I consent into the law that is so good, that is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
That's right.
For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And then for the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not that I do."
That's
and
right.
this is a conflict. We see it right
That's
now,
right.
Marge. We see it happening. Who else had that little conflict? We yeah. talk about, who do you think about?
Huh?
I think about Paul.
Yeah, Paul. He really had a problem, didn't he? Paul did.
I think about Paul. Why do I do the things I ought not to do?
That's right.
Right. He had that conflict. And there is a war, listeners, that rages against us. It's the sin. But also, too, another thing, Pastor Gene, maybe you'll agree with me. When we're walking in the Spirit that you so beautifully explained, is there going to be so much of that raging war within us when we're walking in the Spirit of God?
We have a protection when we walk in the realm of the Spirit. And the enemy cannot cross over that boundary if we remain in the Spirit. When we leak, or I call it leaking, you actually leak instead of, in other words, you come to a place and are you going to follow what the old man wanted to do, the flesh, or are you going to follow the Spirit? Well, the decisions we mentioned last week, all are made in the mind. You got to make a decision. I'm going to follow after the Spirit and not after what I want. And that's where the battle rages. And it's going on. Paul had the same problem we do. And so there's a war. It's going on all the time. Even with us, even today, we have wars going on, don't we, with the things that we deal with each other and all that.
Right. And that's so true. And I think I like what you said, that also, when you were talking about, we need to really ask ourselves, you know, about, is this really of the Spirit? And like I said, the leaking. I love that, how you said that.
You leak.
Yeah, you do. And that's where we give that leak, that open door to the enemy
that's
as
right.
well. And also, too, in 1 Corinthians, it was chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There has no temptation taken you,
that's
but
right.
such as is common to man, but God is faithful."
He sure is.
God is faithful.
All the time.
He is faithful all the time. And then also, too, I wanted to... that it also rages when we're not walking in obedience and following his laws.
That's right.
And that's so true. We do have the indwelling when we get saved, but also to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit is that we have to walk in that obedience. And then also I wanted to go back to Romans real quick before I get ready to wrap everything up. It was in chapter 6, I think it was verse 12. Let me see which one that was. Okay, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, yeah. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet.
That's right.
Covet. Okay, and also too, when we've been talking about this, about the walking walking in the Spirit, and too, and then also too, it says that being fulfilled with the lust of the flesh. So what would be the works of the flesh? So we know, so we know if we're walking in them, and they can be, they manifest in us. And it says in verse 19, it gives us, I think, how many of those, that from adultery to fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, it gives us a lot of that. So when we're walking in that, we know that the lust of the flesh is being manifested in our life.
That's right.
And there's nothing good comes from that. But what we want to see, Pastor Gene, we want to see the fruits of the Spirit.
That's it.
And what would the fruits of the Spirit, what would it look like, Marge? What would that fruit of the Spirit look like? What is your favorite fruit of that Spirit?
Kindness and meekness.
Oh, yes. Yes. And how about you, Pastor Gene? Do you have a special fruit of the Spirit that...
I like the King James calls it temperance.
Temperance. So what is that?
It means we're being tempered
uh-huh.
by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, meaning how we temper by the Holy Spirit.
How we follow the Spirit and not what we want to do. Mm-hmm. It's one of those manifestations that we've been talking about.
And that, I think, is a really good one, because it's not what I want, it's what He wants.
That's
and
right.
That's where I think it believes, when we come to surrender of ourselves. And when we can die, as Paul said, daily. I mean, this isn't, listeners, this isn't a walk you just do at one time. This is a walk you do every day.
That's right.
Every day you've got to walk in that's the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And how do you do that? Well, you're going to surrender yourself. Surrender yourself every day and ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and help you and guide you when we're weak. But
that's
also
right.
too, yeah, and we also have gentleness and goodness and faith and long-suffering in the Spirit, and the meekness, of course, and the temperance. But also too, it says that that Christ has crucified the flesh and the afflictions of the lust. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
So, order your behavior according to the Spirit as well, if you're living in it right.
It's ordered, yes.
And it's ordered. And actually, you're going to see it manifest in your life.
Right.
So, listeners, I just want to encourage you that it is a daily walk. And it is a walk worth walking is in the Spirit of God. And also, I believe, too, is spending time with Jesus, Yeshua, with Him. I believe to giving Him the first fruits of your day. I mean, because there is so much out there to grab us and to yeah. keep us busy and everything the enemy wants to do. But if you just take that time, listeners, just that quiet time, be still, and with the Holy Spirit. And so you have the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, so you can walk with that Spirit and be led with that Spirit during the day. And and then how would that look like? You know, what do you think that day would look like, Pastor Jim?
Well, if we're walking in the Spirit, that means we're going to be honoring God's commandments, and we're going to do those things that He's told us to do, and we're going to stay away from the things He told us to stay away from. That's what the Torah is all about.
Absolutely, and set apart. I believe this is what He calls us.
He calls us
to be set apart.
That's it.
Because we're really just sojourners, and our citizenship is where?
In heaven.
In heaven, so let's be mindful of that.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I just want to encourage all the listeners, it is a daily walk. And also Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
That's right.
Yes, when we're weak, He is strong. So He is there. He's there to strengthen you with your love walk with the Lord. And it's such a good walk. And we're going to see the fruits of that walk too. Mm. Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
Now, I got this in my mind.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you share that
talking
too.
About this, Romans chapter 12. And everybody should know this if you're a believer. But Paul says, I beseech him. He's begging them. Verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, hear this, present your bodies a living sacrifice on the altar that can't crawl off, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look at verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Well, how do we do that? By walking in the Spirit. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We put God's word in that will help us to walk in the Spirit, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And also, I just want to kind of just take from that one on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, or you do not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you,
whom
you have from God. You are not your own.
That's right. You're bought with a price.
You're bought with a price.
Absolutely.
Amen. Glory to God. So hallelujah.
Anyway, if the church could just get a hold of that, that the depth of our walk is going to be determined by how much we seek after the Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
And this whole book is spirit that we're looking at. We know it's a logos word, but there's rhema that comes off of this for us to walk a holy life the way the Lord wants us to walk. So we have all the Torah to look at. Those, you know, hasn't been done away with, all the commandments. We don't do the legalistic things, but there's a spiritual truth behind every commandment that God gave. And so we walk that out, and then we have the New Testament. It's been added even more so. And I really believe that the New Testament realizes and shows us that we're under a greater judgment in the New Testament than we ever were in the first, because they didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, but we do. So then we're responsible to walk this out in the Spirit, no other way. You know, in the first covenant, the Spirit only came upon what? Kings, priests, and prophets. But today, everyone that comes to Christ has the Spirit of God. So you can have as much of God as you want or as little. But the more you press in with Him by the Spirit of God, you're gonna grow and mature and be able to help a lot
of
the people.
That is so true.
Amen. Praise God. Is that on there? Can you see?
Yeah, I see you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I just want to add a little something to that over there in Galatians chapter 5. And then maybe Miss Margie does too. I'm trying to keep track of the time as well. Well, you know, you asked Margie and Pastor Gene what was their favorite one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have asked me, I would have said love.
Well, that's good.
Love. Love is the first one mentioned, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We need them all.
Yeah, we do.
We need them all.
Yeah, we do. That's why there's nine.
That's right.
Love, joy, peace, just like there's nine gifts of the Spirit as well.
That's right.
Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. See, this Bible, our King James says faith, not faithfulness. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I go back to verse 14, and it says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. In one word.
That's right.
And that word is I'll read it, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love. That one word is love. Thy neighbor as thyself. Love.
Right.
So who's your neighbor?
That's right.
Anybody who's close to you.
That's right.
Anybody who's close to you. And you know, a lot of times the enemy might put somebody that's maybe not so loving, but we have to love. And we have to keep our thoughts proper about each person, about everyone, because the enemy lies to us. But we're to love our neighbor as thyself. And I would believe that would be not just your next door neighbor, but anyone who's close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on, it says, I'm going to go down to where you were at, because it talks about biting and devouring and so forth. But in verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. Now that Spirit is capitalized. That means the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Now we all have
a spirit.
Yes. Right.
We all have a spirit.
Yes.
And there are other spirits in the world.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, there's spirits of murder, spirits of witchcraft. There's spirits of witchcraft in the church.
Yes.
There's spiritual witchcraft, and there's all these different, where it reads down here, where it talks about all these things that are manifest in verse 19. It talks about adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, all kinds, witchcraft, hatred, a whole bunch of them, murder, envy, drunkenness. All these, those are another spirit. That's another spirit, small s. But here, it says, walk in the Spirit, capital S. That means the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, amen. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All these other spirits, all these other lusts. And it explains to us, and I think that verse 17 is in there for a purpose, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now, the flesh, we're all in flesh, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the lusting against the Spirit of God, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary. The one to the other. They're on opposite ends.
Yes.
Shit.
They're on totally opposite ends. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But, now he tells us, but if ye are led of the Spirit. So if you're walking in the Spirit, capital S, and you're being led by the Spirit, capital S, this is the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. Why? Because the Spirit is the law.
Yeah, that's
The Spirit is the law. The law that is written on our hearts.
That's right.
And that's the only way the Jewish people can come back and remarry the Lord. The Jewish people can come back to the Lord is if they receive Yeshua in their heart. Remember, there was a divorce written.
The 10 northern tribes were divorced.
The 10 northern tribes were divorced.
Yeah.
Well, they can't. God cannot remarry them unless somebody died.
Right.
And we know that Yeshua died for them.
So until they come to him, they can't come back.
He came for the whole world.
That's right.
But Yeshua died so that they can come back and can be reunited with the Father and be married with him. Because you can't leave one. They left their first love. They left God.
They
disobeyed.
They
went after all these false gods.
Yeah.
And did all these terrible things. Even right there at the mount where the law was given. They built an altar and they were doing all kinds of bad things around there, you know, and many of them died during that time because of their disobedience. And so God has divorced those 10 tribes, right, Pastor Gene, that you have mentioned?
And they're still divorced.
They're still divorced.
Until each one comes to Messiah.
And they are coming.
But they can come back, but the only way is through Jesus Christ, because it says when a husband dies, then a wife can remarry.
Right.
Legally. If somebody dies, if somebody's husband dies, then the wife can remarry. Otherwise, it's she cannot marry somebody else and then go back and marry the one she had originally.
Nope.
Unless somebody dies. So we know Yeshua died for everyone. So what I like here is that the law is spiritual and that it's all fulfilled in one word, the word love.
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 It's good.
And that word love in Hebrew is
Ahava.
So,
and it's different because love is doing. It's not just saying, you know, Pastor Donna, you know, I love you. It's actually doing. I'm showing you. You know, I do by the things I do. You know,
that's right.
It's easy just to tell somebody, but it's in the doing. Ahava.
That's right.
Ahava. It's love. And that verse 18, it doesn't actually say it, but the key is in there if you look at it. But if you are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, you're not under the law.
Yeah.
You're under the Spirit of the law, because the Spirit of the law is where? It's written on our hearts.
And also in 2 Corinthians 3:17, Pastor Don, it reads, "Now the Lord is a Spirit."
Yes.
"And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom."
Freedom.
That's right.
Freedom.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, we have five more minutes, Pastor Gene.
I was thinking about temperance.
Or Margie.
You know, these other Bibles put the word self-control in there.
Yeah, they do.
We can't self-control ourselves. We might think we can, but without the Spirit, you cannot. That's why tongues was given to us, so that we will say the right things. And so temperance is the right word. We want to be tempered by the Spirit of God and not thinking we can do it on our own. We can't.
All right, Margie, you wanted to add, Margie?
Okay, Margie.
Well, I was thinking about the word love. Jesus and his Father, they are love.
That's right.
Everything about them is love. And so when we see the fruit of the Spirit, this is all what Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
This is him. And when we come to Jesus, this should be in our heart, the love, his love. And there is such a depth. He has such a depth of love that we probably haven't even tapped into the fullness of his love. Joy, peace, his peace. No one can give peace as he does. No one has it except from the Father. His long suffering. And I always think of the cross when I see the word long suffering, how he suffered for us on the cross. And he wants us to have that for other people, to have long suffering for other people. Because
even when they're coming against you,
he was long suffering when we came.
Yep.
So he desires us to do the same for others.
That's right.
Gentleness, goodness, and faith. meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
So if we could do all those things, we wouldn't need the Torah, would we?
Yes,
we would be obeying God.
That's where the Torah is. It's written on our hearts.
That's right, written on our
hearts.
But
it's important that we know what the first five books of the Bible say. You know, Christians shouldn't just ignore it.
Yeah.
Because that's where we get our instructions from.
I think it's neat that Paul, the first thing he mentioned was love.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the other thing is here, you know, verse 25, it says here, if we live in the Spirit. Now, a lot of people don't have a lot of trouble living in the Spirit when they're at home or at their church. Or, you know, but when they run into other people, when they run into other circumstances, then it's another story. So if you're, so maybe you can live in the Spirit when you're
at home.
At home, and when you're doing and going to church and you're happy and so forth. But what happens when you walk? He says, because he clarifies it, he says, let us also walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
So, you know, there's two ways there. You're going to live in the Spirit, then you need to also walk in the Spirit.
Order
your behavior after the Spirit.
Right. To demonstrate. Yeah.
Because we are a demonstration generation, and we need to demonstrate the love of Christ everywhere we go.
That's right.
Amen. Well, Pastor Gene, we have 2 minutes left. If you'd like to say something and see if maybe somebody doesn't know the Lord, they've never asked Jesus into their heart, that's the first thing you have to do, is to come to the Lord.
That's right.
And I also want to invite people to come to Shabbat today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Alliance Church at 445 Southeast Osceola Street.
So if someone's listening here today, you've heard a lot of things. And without the Spirit of God, not much can be done in your life, because most people are trying to run their own lives on their own. And you have to step off of the throne of your heart and give it to Jesus. And when he comes, he'll come in and sometimes just turn everything upside down. But he's doing a work for you on your benefit. And so it's the most important decision that you'll ever make. And I mean that sincerely. And I went a lot of years and never made it myself, and Donna too. But we finally made the decision that we were going to commit. You hear that? You got to make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to follow him, his ways, and know that when you come to him, the Spirit of God will come and dwell in you and give you the privilege to walk with the Lord. And then you can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with an evidence of speaking in a heavenly language that God wants you to have. And then you can have communications with him. And you'll grow by leaps and bounds as you spend time in the Word, pray, talk with him, and spend that time with him, and you'll never be the same again. We weren't, were we, honey? Okay?
Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're blessed to be here on WCNO, Lord willing, every Saturday at 12 noon. So we just want to bless you and say we hope that you have enjoyed this broadcast and that you have learned something. And so get in your Bible. Read the book of Galatians. It's a very powerful book. So we bless you and we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath
peace. And we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. Glory to God. Marcia, you want to blow that shofar? Thank you, Lord. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. And we all say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
Rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.